So who's the software engineering program for?
The program's aimed at part-time working professional in the software industry. And we've been going on for quite a while now, since 1993. So 15 years we've been teaching part-time students. The way that we teach people is quite unusual. So we expect students to come to Oxford for a week of intensive teaching. 4 weeks before that, we send them some pre-study, and they have an assignment for six weeks after that. This is the only examined part of our course. So students can come for one or two modules as standalone, or they can make these count towards a qualification. And we have a variety of these, both in software engineering and in software and systems security.
So what's so special about the programme then?
So I think the important thing about the programme is that we teach formal methods in context, as I kind of say. So the formal methods bit is about precise mathematical techniques for specifying and reasoning about software systems. So software systems, computers are basically digital, precise, easy to understand machines. But you have to consider these things in context because they have to fit into human organisations and into social environments. And that's where you have to consider the distinction between the gap between the precise mathematical bits and the softer, less easy to understand and less easy to control social bits. And we take both of those sides very seriously. So there's this this story about theory and practice. Christopher Strachey, who was the founder of the programming research group here in Oxford, wrote about the importance of considering theory and practice together. You shouldn't consider either of them separately. So you need to consider, if you only consider the theory, you can divorce yourself from reality and just go building sort of ivory towers of abstraction with no grounding in reality. But if you just consider the practice, then you can go building houses of sand, if you like, that collapse because they're not paying proper attention to the fundamentals. So it's very important to consider these two together, and that's what we try to do on the software engineering program. So we try to have the properly founded mathematical techniques for reasoning about software systems, but consider these very carefully in software engineering context, in the context of building large software systems.
Okay, so how does this sort of relate to the current trends in software engineering?
Well, there's an interesting new initiative happening in various countries around the world called the digital economy. So this is trying to move the economy and society more generally forward from the industrial revolution, where everything was in terms of bits and physical reality and shipping products around, to the information age, if you like, where the things we trade in, the things we're interested in, are digital products and their information rather than physical devices. So, I mean, this is happening all around. Everyone buys stuff from Amazon, they watch BBC programs on the iPlayer, they send emails to their friends and so on. Everyone uses mobile phones. But the challenges in the digital economy are much more than just the technical things. It's a very multidisciplinary problem area where you have to consider social aspects and business aspects and ethical aspects about what information it's right to put online, and regulatory aspects about trying to set up the legal system and regulations that promote the right things to happen and dissuade people from doing the wrong things. And this multidisciplinary thing is quite exciting, and it seems that the interesting problems in research now and the challenges in getting things right, and not so much in particular domains, but in the interfaces between domains, the gaps between domains.
It's also, in the digital economy, a very interesting area for security. One of the key elements of the digital economy is transferring value from this physical world onto this information world or digital world. And the consequence of this is people now will try and exploit this. So things like antisocial behaviour or criminality or terrorism or cyber warfare are all going to be migrating increasingly online, and in fact have been doing so, as certain, you know, politically motivated attacks have been happening with Estonia and Georgia most recently. These are very serious threats to this digital economy. And the key is, how do you secure such a complex, disparate environment? Well, one of the key points is you need to understand that people are a key aspect of this kind of problem, and understanding how people work, what their limitations and capabilities are, is actually quite a crucial element. There are countless examples of where people can get this wrong. A good example, actually, a recent one, is when the UK introduced the new chip and PIN cards. A lot of elderly people have all sorts of trouble using these PIN terminals because they can't read the numbers, or they have very shaky fingers and they can't have the fine motor control to press the right numbers. There are all sorts of other examples. The passport biometrics, again, is a recent concern for quite a lot of different countries. Enrolling people with these biometrics, gathering the information in the first place so you can store it on the passport or in the computer system, works rather well with able-bodied people, but as soon as you start bringing in a disabled population, there are all sorts of troubles and difficulties in actually getting the information. So understanding what people, you know, what the limitations and capabilities of people are in such a wide and complex system is a really, really important element. The other side of it is getting the technology right. How do you write secure software? How do you design a system that actually doesn't fail under attack, or, you know, doesn't disclose private information to the wrong people? Is a really interesting question. It also ties into this whole ethical notion of, well, where does the you know, national security end and individuals' privacy start? You know, or how do you protect against terrorism without infringing on people's civil liberties and all that kind of thing? It's a very complex, very interesting problem, and it does tie into the kind of thing that we do in software engineering, which is trying to reconcile these formal methods, the precision, with the practicality, the applied nature of the problem, really.
Yeah, the passport example you gave is a nice illustration of that. So the that's this kind of thing. The ID cards would be part of the digital economy, but these high profile sort of public sector information systems are very important to get right, because we have a much greater stake in them. So if it's all very well if your Amazon account ceases to work and they lose your wish list and you can no longer remember what it is you bought with them, that's fine. You can just go off and set up another account, or you can go to another bookseller. It's not the end of the world if that happens to you. But if something goes wrong with the biometrics in your passport, that's a bit more difficult, because the government has a monopoly. You can't come to Heathrow and try and get through and fail to get in through that system and then try and get in by another system. So it's much more important with things like the digital economy projects to get them right. Mm-hmm. So that's when formal methods are important for building correct software.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.